I've given this a lot of thought and analysis and preparation. Eternity Springs needs a daycare center. I can run a fabulous daycare center.
How do you know? What qualifications do you have? You've never worked with children.
Sure I have. Think, Mom. You know that my volunteer work has always been child-centered, and I've won my company's Community Outreach Volunteer of the Year Award for 3 out of the past 5 years. On top of that, I've been teaching the preschool Sunday school class at my church for the past 3 years.
I didn't know about the awards,
Allie murmured. There's a lot you don't know about me, Mother. Max scowled at Caitlin and warned,
Don't sass your mother, young lady.
I apologize. Caitlin closed her eyes, summoned her patience, and tried to bury her hurt. Keeping her tone modulated, she said, I've done my research on this. I know what I need to do to get licensed. I know the personnel and services requirements. I know what facilities I'll need. Mac rose from his seat and retrieved a second glass from the cabinet.
It'll take money.
I have my inheritance from Granddad. Mac winced. Chase whistled silently. Allie gasped and said, You can't. Yes, I can. He told each of his grandchildren to use the money to finance our dreams. You don't get to tell me what my dream is, Mom. Not anymore.
Allie looked away from Caitlin, but not before she spied the tears pooling in her mother's eyes.
The sight brought tears to her own eyes. She loved her mother. She didn't like hurting her. But then, she didn't like being hurt by her either.
I knew it, Mac muttered as he poured another drink. I knew the minute I set eyes on the way you were hanging off that free-handed mechanic that there'd be trouble.
Glad to have a different target for her ire, Caitlin whirled on him. What do you have against Josh Tarkington? He's a nice guy. He takes care of a crippled dog, for heaven's sake.
He's from Oklahoma. He came out of the system.
What system? What are you talking about, Dad?
I asked around about him. He's Brick Callahan's foster brother. He grew up in the foster system.
So?
In Oklahoma.
I repeat,
so?
You did too, Dad. You came out of the foster system in Oklahoma too.
He lifted his drink in a toast.
The defense rests.
Caitlin shot a frustrated look toward her brother.
I'm going to lose it. I knew they'd do this. I knew they wouldn't understand.
You're doing a sorry job of explaining yourself,
Chase pointed out, punctuating his point with a shake of his apple.
I've tried. They won't listen.
Max snorted.
I don't need to listen. I heard. You're throwing away your life for a grease monkey.
It was the proverbial final straw.
Caitlin fisted her hands, gritted her teeth, and released a screech.
I can't do this! You two are making me feel like I'm a 9-year-old who failed a spelling test, but I'm 29 and I've made a decision. And I'm sorry that you're disappointed, but it's my life, and I'm going to live it the way I see fit. Now, I'm going for a walk before I say or do something that I'll regret.
Fighting back tears, she rushed out of the kitchen and out of the house, slamming the door behind her like the time she'd left home in a snit because Dad had made her change her 2 short shorts. That door slam had earned her a 2-week grounding. The way he's acting, he's liable to try that again, she muttered to herself. The way she was acting, like a rebellious teenager rather than a mature adult, she'd probably allow him to do it. Without conscious thought, Caitlin took the path that led toward Heartache Falls. She'd gone maybe 400 yards when she heard the roar of a motorcycle. Was it coming or going? Her dad had a bike. Was he leaving, or was someone arriving? She slowed her footsteps and listened harder. Arriving. Well, good. She'd left just in time. She didn't have it in her to make nice to neighbors. Another 100 yards or so later, she became aware of footsteps following her. Glancing over her shoulder, she spied her brother. Caitlin didn't slow her pace. Her long-legged brother would catch up with her soon enough.
He did, walking beside her when the width of the path allowed, falling behind when it didn't. They didn't speak, but Caitlin drew comfort from his presence. The 15-minute walk took Caitlin 12 today. She heard the roar of the falls first, and her pace increased. When she broke from the trees, spied the frothing white water and breathed in the scent of mist-saturated air, a lump formed in her throat. She should have come here first for a little zen moment before going to her parents' house. Something about this spot brought her peace when nothing else did. She made her way down the slope toward the broad, flat rock that was the Timberlake family's traditional water-watching spot, approximately 10 feet from the bank and halfway between the top of the falls and its base. There, she sat cross-legged and stared at the water. Her brother sat beside her, and, as was his habit, he scooped up a handful of pebbles and began throwing them one by one toward the falls. They sat without speaking for a while. Caitlin did her best not to think. Nevertheless, her mind spun. What had just happened in her mother's kitchen? After throwing at least 3 handfuls of pebbles off the cliff, Chase broke the silence.
"When are you moving, Caitlin?"
"As soon as possible. I have to be out of my apartment in the city by the 1st of November, so I don't have a lot of time. I hope to find a rental in town tomorrow."
"It doesn't take long to look at rentals in Eternity Springs. You'll find something tomorrow."
Chase glanced at his sister.
"You don't want to buy a place?"
"No, not a place to live, not right away. I'll buy property for the daycare, and I want to concentrate on one project at a time. I have my eyes on that empty lot on Aspen between 2nd and 3rd.
Chase pursed his lips and considered it. "Not a bad spot."
"The bank owns it, and I think I could get it at a decent price. I have a supper meeting with the builder tomorrow night to discuss plans."
"Whoa, no dust on you, is there?"
"I've been thinking about this for quite a while."
"But it didn't occur to you to say anything to the folks about it?"
On the defensive, she stiffened her spine. "It occurred to me. It's my decision, though, and I wanted to make it on my own. Besides, Mom was going to have a cow about it whenever I told her, so I figured it was best for everyone if I waited until it was a done deal."
"And it is a done deal?"
"I gave notice at work."
"Okay, then." "Well?"
Chase rubbed the back of his neck.
"You know, Goober, Mom just wants what's best for you. That's all she's ever wanted."
Caitlin swallowed a lump in her throat and shrugged. She pretended that her bottom lip didn't tremble. Her emotions where her mother was concerned were so conflicted. Allie was both her biggest cheerleader and her harshest critic. Caitlin wanted to please her mother, but she didn't want to live her life for her. Chase shook his head, then took pity on his sister and changed the subject.
"Well, here's what I think. I think you'll find a place to live tomorrow before 10 a.m. That gives you extra time, so you should come up to the Rocking L and help paint the mural we're doing on the cafeteria wall."
She shot him a look that questioned his sanity.
"What?"
He repeated his suggestion. She couldn't help but laugh. Leave it to Chase to interject the mundane into an insane situation. "No, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but I don't want to spend my day painting a mural on your cafeteria wall."
"But think of the children,"
Chase exclaimed, his brown eyes flashing with amusement.
"I love Lori dearly, but it's not that she simply colors outside the lines. She doesn't see the lines. She's obliterating Sage's design. If she's left in charge of the mural, rather than it brightening the children's mealtime, it will turn their stomachs."
"You're ridiculous." Caitlin dismissed her brother, gazing back toward the waterfall where the reflection of the afternoon's fading sunlight created a rainbow in the mist. Seeing it, she smiled. Some of the tension in her bones melted. She loved Heartache Falls, the sounds, the scents, the sight of such majestic beauty. She loved so much about Eternity Springs and its environs. It inspired her. How quickly it had become home to her. She willed back tears. Why can't Mom and Dad see that? Chase threw an arm around her shoulder and gently tugged a lock of her hair.
Come on, Goober. Don't tell me you're going to go back on your promise.
What promise?
As always, when he pulled her hair, she elbowed him in the side.
I seem to remember that when I got home from my Middle East adventure, you promised if I ever needed anything, all I had to do was ask.
Caitlin shrugged off his arm and whipped around to shoot him an incredulous look. The incident Chase referred to was their family's biggest nightmare, the time when he'd gone missing in the terrorist-infested mountains of Chizikstan, and their family had feared him dead.
Seriously?
She shoved him. You're playing the I thought you were dead card for an afternoon of mural painting? The laughter glittering in his eyes intensified.
Yep, sure am.
How could she have forgotten how infuriating her brother could be?
That's taking advantage.
Chase shrugged.
How old are you? 30?
Her eyes narrowed. Forget shoving. Now she wanted to use her self-defense skills and take him to the ground.
I'm only 29. And for how many of those 29 years have I, as your beloved older brother, taken advantage of you?
29.
Exactly. That's what brothers do.
She sniffed loudly with disdain, even as her lips fluttered with a begrudging grin.
I'm not sure beloved is the proper adjective in this instance.
Sure it is. You love me big as the moon.
The reminder of the declaration of their childhood warmed her heart. So did the wink he gave while playing his winning card.
And you'll love it when I return the favor by helping you after you change your mind about where you want furniture in your new digs.
Caitlin always had trouble deciding where she wanted things to go. She didn't hesitate. What time do you want me at the cafeteria?
Chase laughed. Let's make it 2. That way you'll arrive before Lori, and you might be able to clean up some of her mess before she gets there.
I can't believe she puts up with you.
Honestly, I can't either. But the woman is head over heels for me.
I know. Caitlin responded with an exaggerated sigh. She always has been. Too bad you wasted so many years being stupid.
Can't argue with that.
They both fell silent as a hawk lifted from his perch atop a fir tree, his powerful wings pumping the air as he rose high above the waterfall. Caitlin tried to recall the last time she'd watched a hawk take flight. It had been way too long. Finally, she'd found enough calm within herself to be able to say,
I knew Mom and Dad wouldn't be happy with my decision, but honestly, I wasn't expecting this.
Chase slung an arm around her shoulder and gave her a squeeze.
Me either, Goober.
It hurts my feelings. They didn't even give me a chance to explain. Dad's making up stuff out of thin air and Mom is tossing back booze. Talk about bizarro world.
Dad's had a thorn in his paw ever since they saw you in Telluride.
Obviously, since he's decided Josh knocked me up.
Chase started to say something, then apparently changed his mind. He shut his mouth and rolled his tongue around his cheeks.
What?
Nothing. I like Josh. He's a good guy.
Are you friends?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that we're friends. More like acquaintances. I know him through Brick. Josh worked for him at the Stardance Ranch RV Resort. But we haven't socialized together much. He's quiet. Seems content to be by himself. I like what he's done with the renovation of his garage. Built a new house, too.
But you said he's a good guy.
How do you know? Brick says he is, and Brick knows him. They're foster brothers.
Yes, Dad mentioned that. So what happened to Josh's parents?
I don't know. Like I said, he's a quiet guy. But my veterinarian bride thinks he's fabulous. He adopted a special needs dog. That says quite a lot about a man.
That he's crazy? Caitlin asked with a laugh, recalling the 3-times-a-day bladder expression Josh was required to do for Penny.
Dedicated is the word I'd choose.
Caitlin thought back to the care Josh had taken of Penny during the gondola stoppage. He is sweet with her. That is appealing in a man. Chase gave her a sly look.
So was he sweet with you, too? What did happen between the two of you? Care to give me the lowdown?
Caitlin sighed. I'm sure you heard all about it.
Yes, but from the rents, not from you. I'd like to hear your version.
She told him with more detail than she would have anticipated, and finished with the decision she'd made in the moonlight, following a barefoot dance.
I'm going to marry him, Chase.
What?
I'm going to marry him.
Holy crap.
In the midst of gathering up another handful of pebbles to throw, Chase froze. He looked at his sister with shock in his gaze.
At the risk of sounding like Dad, you're being straight with us about the pregnancy thing?
She gave him another elbow to the side, a little harder this time.
I'm being straight. I haven't slept with him yet.
Yet.
I hope to rectify that soon.
So Dad is right about one thing. You are chasing him.
Caitlin unfolded her legs and leaned back on her elbows. Watching rainbows of light float in the waterfall mist, she said,
Technically, that might be correct, but it's not an attractive charge. I'd prefer to say I intend to make a run at him. Look, I know it sounds crazy, but I just know he's the one. I can't explain it.
Chase's tone was incredulous as he asked,
On the basis of one broken-down gondola ride? That blows me away, Goober.
Sunshine warmed her skin, and she lifted her face toward the sky.
I know. I can hardly believe it myself. I've never been one to believe in love at first sight, and honestly, I still don't. I'm not in love with him. I don't know him well enough for that.
Yet.
But I believe I will be in love with him. It will come in time.
Would you be moving to Eternity Springs if he didn't live here?
I think so. Maybe not quite this soon, but I've been headed here for quite some time. Everything changed when you went missing.
So this is my fault now?
He asked, a bit of a bite to his voice. Only if you agree with Mom and Dad and think I'm throwing my life away.
I've been looking for an excuse to come home ever since you did, Chase. I miss my family. I want to play summer baseball with you and Lori. I want to go to yoga class with Mom and Dad. And after you get around to knocking Lori up, I want to babysit your little girl.
Boys. I told my wife we're going to have 5 boys. I want a basketball team.
And I see marbles rolling out of your head even now.
They shared a grin. Then Chase rolled to his feet and went in search of something bigger than pebbles to throw into the water. He gathered a half-dozen fist-sized stones and pitched them one by one toward the waterfall. When his hands were empty, he turned and faced Caitlin.
I get the family part of this decision. That aside, mind if I play devil's advocate regarding Tarkington?
Without waiting for her answer, he pressed on.
I know you're not like most girls. Women. Excuse me. I know you're not like most women, but this whole marriage idea. Don't you think this is probably the common new relationship high? You know what I'm talking about. That gaga, dippy, dreamy-eyed emotion that lasts 6 weeks or so before fizzling out.
I know what you're talking about, and this isn't that.
She wrapped her arms around her knees.
He's the one, Chase. The one. I know it in my bones.
Chase shook his head.
That's just weird. You spent, what, 2 days with him?
Not even that much. Look, I know it's weird. I also know I meant to be with him, be here, with him, in Eternity Springs.
That's woo-woo, Caitlin. You've never been a woo-woo kind of person.
He paused a moment, then added,
I hate to see you risk your heart this way. I'm afraid you'll get hurt.
Caitlin rose, walked over to her brother, stood up on her tiptoes and kissed his cheek.
I love you, Michael Chase. Honestly, I'm a little afraid that I'll get hurt too. But I'm convinced I must follow my instincts in this instance. I just need to convince everyone else in my life that I'm right.
Chase's smirk signaled his surrender. Probably need to let Tarkington in on it, too.
Oh, I will. Now it was Caitlin's turn for a sly smile. Seeing it, Chase laughed out loud.
I almost feel sorry for the guy. He doesn't stand a chance.
I can be a little determined. Caitlin made a dusting motion with her hands.
Chase snorted. And the summit of Murphy Mountain can get a little cold in January.
Yeah, well, so can Mom's smile.
Caitlin closed her eyes and groaned.
I slammed the door when I left the house. I can't believe I did that.
Yep, she'll make you pay for that one. So, are you going to go back to the house and face the music or throw yourself into Heartache Falls?
Caitlin massaged her brow with both hands. Sometimes it's hard to be a grown-up.
Don't you know it?
Chase's smile softened to tender.
One reason to take heart, Goober. Celeste rode up shortly after you left the house. Nobody calms choppy waters like Celeste.
True.
Caitlin sighed and turned toward the path that led home.
Unfortunately, I feel like I left a hurricane behind.
Journal entry. They sent me to a therapist for the first time 1 week before I turned 12. The doctor asked me what I wanted for my birthday. I didn't explain that every year my mother threw a huge party for my birthday. Hundreds of people came, but they were always all adults, no kids. And the party always had a theme, a night in the jungle when I turned 9. I got life-sized stuffed animals, a giraffe and a gorilla and a zebra. Somebody gave me a live monkey. Guests wore Tarzan and Jane costumes, and before I finished opening all my gifts, someone had rigged a rope swing from the second floor into the pool. I liked the sweet, fruity drink the waitstaff served. Jungle juice, they called it. I drank a lot. I fell asleep on a lounge chair beside the pool. I woke up surrounded by naked people having sex. The sound of a Tarzan yell still scares me. I told the therapist I wanted a tent for my birthday. I wanted to run away for real that time, to go up into the hills and camp out. I wanted escape.
Chapter 6 Mac Timberlake stood in front of the big picture window at the front of his house and watched Celeste Blessing give his wife one final hug before pulling on her helmet and mounting her Goldwing. Thank God for Celeste. She had a way of saying exactly what a person needed to hear when he needed to hear it. In today's brief 10-minute visit, she'd managed to remind him that the Timberlake family support system was dedicated and deep, that he'd married a woman of uncommon strength and fathered 3 children who would never turn their backs on family.
"It'll be okay,"
he murmured, shoving his hands in the back pockets of his jeans.
"No matter what, it'll be okay."
Allie waited, waving as Celeste topped a hill and disappeared down the other side. Not for the first time, Mac half expected that the woman dressed in gold-trimmed white leathers would sprout real wings and she and her motorcycle would rise up into the sky. If anyone could manage that little trick, it would be Celeste. Allie turned and met Mac's gaze. The smile she offered was bittersweet, and she didn't try to hide the tears rolling down her cheeks. He turned away from the window and started toward the door, intending to walk outside and join her. But a shooting pain in his leg had him reaching for the support of a chair back and gritting his teeth instead. By the time the pain eased, Allie was re-entering the house. Mac did his level best to hide his pain, but his wife of almost 40 years knew him too well. The brittle worry in her smile showed him he hadn't fooled her, so he attempted to distract her instead.
"Any sign of the kids on the trail?"
"No, not yet."
"Could I have handled it any worse, do you think?"
"Of course you could have handled it worse." Allie waited a beat and added,
though you'd have had to put some real effort into it. Releasing a half-laugh, half-groan, Mac crossed the room to his wife and took her into his arms. He buried his face in her hair and sank into the comfort of her embrace.
Should I go after Caitlin?
No. Chase will herd her back after she's calmed down. Allie sighed heavily.
We forget because we're not around her all the time. But our girl can have a hair-trigger temper upon occasion. No sense risking making matters worse.
True. Not that I handled the situation any better than you, Mac. Caitlin living in Eternity Springs? Now? I'm not sure I have the energy for this.
Mac took a long look at his wife. These past few weeks had been hard on her. She did more tossing and turning than actually sleeping at night. The lines on her brow etched a little deeper, the creases at her eyes stretched a little longer. He honestly thought this whole thing was harder on her than it was on him.
Oh, Allie, I'm sorry to be doing this to you.
He cleared the sudden lump from his throat.
No matter what happens, you need to take care of yourself, Allison. I'm going to insist on it.
She went up on her toes and kissed him.
Right back at you. With that in mind, since our daughter is apparently home for more than a quick visit, maybe we should go down to yoga class tonight after all.
That's not a bad idea. Allie's mouth flickered in a grin as she added,
We could catch dinner at the restaurant afterwards. Tell Caitlin to fend for herself.
Yeah, right. Allie Timberlake opts out of feeding one of her chicks on said chick's first night home, and I'm going to wear hot pink yoga pants to class, too.
This time Allie actually laughed. If you had hot pink yoga pants to wear, I'd definitely do it. I'd want a camera set up in the room first.
No can do. Remember, cameras are off-limits in yoga class. However, why don't I join you in the kitchen and you can boss me around while I help you get dinner started? Cooking relaxes you, and there's no reason you can't serve our chick her feed a little early so that we can make the couples class.
You're truly up to going?
I am. I'm glad Celeste reminded me about the couples class. I think we both can use a little Eternity Springs Zen tonight.
They walked hand in hand back into the kitchen. Armed with a knife and a cutting board, Mac sat at the table and sliced zucchinis, tomatoes, and garlic under his wife's watchful eye.
A little thicker on the tomatoes, please. It's for caprese salad.
Mac shifted his knife.
Like this?
Perfect. They worked in comfortable silence for a time, while Mac's thoughts bounced from subject to subject, finally settling on his daughter.
So you really thought she had come home to tell us she was moving to Europe?
I did. It's the next logical step in her career.
You had no inkling that she wanted to move home.
Not at all. There's nothing logical about her moving to Eternity Springs.
Sure there is, Mac grumbled. He's opened a garage on 6th and Spruce.
Mac, you need to zip your lips about Josh Tarkington when she comes home.
I know. I will.
He sliced the tomato with a little too much zest.
Celeste had nothing but nice things to say about the man.
Yeah, well, Celeste never has anything bad to say about anyone.
Now that's not true. She's an excellent judge of character, and she'll speak up if she believes it necessary.
Yeah, well, harumph. Is this enough tomatoes?
Allie eyed the cutting board.
One more. Lori loves caprese.
Mac did too. But then he loved almost everything his wife created in the kitchen. The only way he'd managed to avoid packing on the pounds after she'd begun cooking professionally was by embracing the active lifestyle made easy to achieve when semi-retired and living in the mountains.
I missed that already.
Here come the kids,
Allie said. Mac rose from his seat and joined his wife at the kitchen's big window that offered a breathtaking view of the San Juans.
Love swelled within him as his gaze landed on his younger son and daughter, who
who were making their way toward the house. His heart gave a little twist.
Dear God, I'm not ready for this.
Mac? Allie spoke quietly and with a note of hesitance.
Maybe we should tell... No!
He fired out before she'd finished her sentence. Them. He repeated,
No. Not yet. Not until we hear what they have to say in Boston. But, honey, I don't need the drama, and neither do you. Please let it go.
She sighed. All right, it's just... Fair warning. Chase is your typical clueless guy when it comes to noticing undercurrents. Caitlin is more perceptive. If she's living in Eternity Springs and around us all the time, and we act out of character like we did earlier, she's liable to figure out something's up. And we don't want a situation like Lily had with her parents. They kissed and made up, but the hurt was real, and it did some damage.
You have a point. Oh, be careful. I'm calm now.
Allie studied him closely, then nodded.
It's the Celeste effect.
True. Mac gave her waist a little squeeze.
The bourbon didn't hurt anything either.
When Caitlin and Chase entered the room a few minutes later, Allie stood in front of the stove. Mac was setting the table. The mother and father met their daughter's gaze, and all three spoke simultaneously.
I'm sorry.
The tension deflated somewhat. Mac motioned to the table.
Sweetheart. Mom and I want to start this over. Please sit down and share the news you need to share. We won't interrupt.
After a moment's pause, he added,
If we can help it.
Caitlin's eyes watered up. She blinked rapidly and swallowed hard.
Thank you.
Taking a deep breath, she added, I know I could have handled this better. I've been afraid to be honest with you. But the truth is... She shot her brother a quick, teasing grin. It's all Chase's fault.
He snorted. Some things never change. The truth is the truth,
their father observed. At her father's quip, Caitlin's tension visibly eased.
Seriously, though, this did all begin when Chase went missing. Those horrible weeks brought home to me just how short life is. It made me want to make every single day count. You understand that, don't you?
Mac's gaze flicked toward his wife.
Oh, hell.
Caitlin couldn't have made a comment more certain to bring on the waterworks if she'd tried.
Two big fat tears overflowed Allie's eyes and rolled down her cheeks.
Yes, we understand.
Oh, don't cry, Mom.
Caitlin impulsively stood and reached for her mother and hugged her. Please don't cry. I know I've disappointed you, and that rips me in two.
That's not... Oh, don't mind me, honey. I'm just hormonal these days.
Continue with your explanation, please. Dinner will be ready in 20 minutes. Chase, I texted Lori to let her know we'll be eating a little early tonight.
Will she be able to get away from the clinic?
She said she'd be here. Caitlin, please go on. Caitlin exhaled a heavy breath, then said, I'm glad I went to New York and lived that experience. It was fabulous and exciting, and I'm proud of what I accomplished. But I've been there, done that, and I dream of something else now. I'm ready for the next step. She faced her father and met and held his gaze. Dad, I'll tell you one more time that I'm not pregnant. However... I want to be. I'm ready to be. That's my new dream. I want children, a house full of kids. The mess and the mayhem and the pandemonium. I want to drive a carpool and bring homemade snacks to Little League games. I want to read bedtime stories and quiz spelling words.
Mac raised his hand. I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to interrupt, but I have this one question...
Yes, Dad, I want to have a husband, too. A husband first.
Okay. Good. That's good. I'll shut up now.
He shoved his hands in his pockets and added,
Except, don't you think the odds are better for that somewhere other than Eternity Springs?
Caitlin smiled and shrugged. Actually, I don't. From what I've seen, Eternity Springs is the happy marriage capital of Colorado. Besides, that's the other part of my dream. I want to share the mess and mayhem and pandemonium with my family. I want you to be part of it. I want my babies to have grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins who are an intimate part of their lives, not just people they see on holidays and vacations. That's a lot more important to me than designing pretty sheets and visiting Rockefeller Center at Christmas. His daughter's heartfelt declaration brought Mac to the verge of tears. He was thankful when Chase lightened the moment by saying, "You do make awfully pretty sheets, though, Goober."
"Thank you."
Allie glanced up from the pan of risotto she stirred and cut to the heart of the matter. "Are you serious about Josh Tarkington?" Caitlin obviously chose her words carefully when she responded. "I haven't known Josh long enough to be serious, Mom. But I am seriously going to see if I can be serious about him." Mac opened his mouth. Allie shot him a warning look, and he caught his words just in time.
"Want me to fill the water glasses, Allison?"
"Please." He'd give himself an extra big glass. Maybe he could swallow the wrong way and drown himself. Just solve all his problems here and now. Allie said,
"You've told me you work from home quite a bit. Is it possible that you could arrange a long-distance position? Do your designing here, then travel to New York when it's necessary?"
"I couldn't do that with my current job, but I could freelance. But, Mom, that's not what I want to do. I want to work with children.
But, please, Mom, listen to me. Believe me, this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what I wanted to be now that I've finally grown up. I made a lot of lists. I want to work with children, and I want to operate a daycare. Eternity Springs desperately needs a daycare, and I'm going to establish a fabulous one. I'm already at work on the licensing, and I'm counting on you to help me with other legal stuff, Dad. Will you do that?"
"Of course."
Caitlin shared her plans about renting a place in town and her thoughts about the empty lot on Aspen. Under other circumstances, Mac would have suggested she move back home, but that wasn't doable with their current situation. He exchanged a long look with Allie, silently communicating in that way of longtime partners, and she nodded in agreement. Caitlin glanced curiously between them, but continued, "If the lot doesn't work out, I plan to ask Celeste if she has any properties that might suit. I'd try to coax Jax Lancaster into doing renovations for me."
"Jax does great work," Chase said. "You'll need good luck to get him away from that baby of his and Claire's. In a town of doting fathers, he's one of the dotingest."
"Is that a word?" Caitlin asked.
Chase shrugged. "I don't know. It suits."
Just then, Mac's old dog, Gus, lifted his head from his bed in the mudroom, perked his ears, and thumped his tail.
"Lori must be here," observed Mac. "The only time Gus gets that enthused anymore is when Captain comes up to play."
Chase pushed away from the pantry door where he'd been leaning.
"So, are we done here? Goober, do you have any more grenades you plan to launch?"
"I've pretty much said what I wanted to say. Mom? Dad?" Mac arched a brow toward Allie, silently giving her the floor. She said,
"It's your life, Caitlin.
You have to live it.
If this is what you want, I won't say I totally understand it, but your dad and I will support you." "She wants what you had, Allison," Mac said gently. "What you created."
Allie instinctively pulled back. The shock in her expression both amused Mac and frustrated him. Even after all this time, after the undeniable success of their family as a unit, Allie didn't appreciate what she meant to the Timberlake clan. For some inexplicable reason, she had never valued her value to the family. "Dad is right. You are my hero, Mom. If I can do half as good a job at being a wife and a mother and a businesswoman and a friend and a community supporter as you, I'll be thrilled." Allie shut her eyes.
but that didn't prevent the tears from trailing down her cheeks again. Mac's heart twisted. As a rule, Allie wasn't a crier, but these days, tears hovered constantly at the ready. Chase opened the back door and Captain galloped in, making a stop at everyone's feet to be scratched, petted, and loved on for a moment. Then he escaped with Gus to create their usual havoc with the dog toy box just as Lori entered the house, a wide smile on her face as she called, "Caitlin! Welcome home!" Once again, Mac and Allie shared a long look, silently communicating their hopes and fears, their worries and concerns, and their regrets. Allie nodded, and Mac spoke the words he should have said earlier that day, but had withheld. "Yes, Caitlin, our love, welcome home." Journal entry. I ended up at the Christopher's house by dumb luck. Good luck, I guess. One of the few times in my life that I'd say luck fell that way for me. It was the last movie I made. I played the part of 10-year-old burn victim turned psychopath in a thriller, filming 3 months on location in Oklahoma City. We worked mostly at night, so I'd get to bed really late, sleep to mid-afternoon, then do a few hours of school. Listen to my mom's crazy emotional phone calls with the drummer. It was an ugly breakup. Go to work again. Makeup took forever. Mainly, I remember feeling exhausted. The night of the wrap party, Mom attempted suicide. Someone found her in time to revive her, but she went into the hospital and I got shuffled into the system. I went a little bit crazy myself, then. I was still just a kid, and I'd had a lot of suicide in my life. My dad, my brother, now my mom, gave me a bit of a complex. What was wrong with me? The people in my life kept offing themselves. Then a social worker introduced me to Paul and Cindy Christopher. We used my mother's surname instead of my own, and my whole first name instead of my initials. Out with J.B. Trammell, and in with Joshua Tarkington. Mr. and Mrs. Christopher took me home with them to suburbia. I thought I'd landed in outer space. They had a half a dozen bicycles in the garage, a trampoline in the backyard, and kids everywhere I looked. At 6 o'clock sharp, when the cuckoo clock in the family room started chirping, "You damn well better be sitting in your seat for family dinner," they said grace before eating. Like I said, outer space. Paul and Cindy knew about my California life, but they didn't share it with the other kids. I was just one of them, a regular kid. I had the same rules to follow, the same chores to do. Paul and Cindy didn't treat me one bit different. Outer space. Oklahoma. The closest place to heaven that existed on Earth. Chapter 7. Exiting his garage on a crisp October morning, Josh took a moment to drink in the beauty of the day. The soft breeze was crisp, the sky a brilliant blue. The mountains were on fire with the colors of autumn. He planned to take a hike this weekend up above Bricks River Camp. His brother had told him of a remote spot where the forest was a symphony of quaking aspen, burbling creeks, and warbling songbirds. He wanted to experience it himself. He wanted to go someplace where he knew without a doubt that he wouldn't run into Caitlin Timberlake. Her brief visit home had turned his world upside down. Nobody knew for sure what big announcement she'd made that weekend, but the rumors were driving him nuts. Some people said she'd come home to tell her parents she'd quit her job. Others said she'd eloped with a professional athlete. The possibility that caused Josh the most grief was the tidbit he'd heard while standing in line to buy milk at the trading post. There was some speculation that she just might be planning to move home to Eternity Springs. Knowing his luck, that's exactly what would happen. But nobody knew for sure what big announcement she'd made. Mac and Allie Timberlake had left town right after their daughter's brief visit, and Chase hadn't confirmed any of the rumors before departing on a second honeymoon trip with Lori.
so Josh walked on eggshells every time he left the garage. Maybe he shouldn't have worked so hard to avoid her during her September visit. Shoot, no maybe about it. Hadn't he learned by now that the only way to beat your demons is to face them? He should have sought her out and said hello and put the first post-Telluride visit behind him. Maybe then he wouldn't be seeing her in line at the post office or playing pool at Murphy's or walking a dog down Spruce. The woman haunted him. The what-ifs haunted him. The might-have-beens left him sad and lonely and alone. Luckily for his cranky mood this morning, he wouldn't be alone for long. He had a house call to make. Mechanics didn't ordinarily make house calls, but his across-the-street neighbor's pitiful excuse of a Buick sat stranded in her garage. It took less effort to haul the tools he'd need across the street than hook the Buick up and tow it over to his place. Besides, Harriet loved to love on Penny, and if he did his work in her garage, she'd bring him cookies hot from the oven. Harriet Rosenbaum could be counted on for that. The 1981 Buick Skylark needed a Viking funeral. Instead, at Harriet's insistence, he'd do his best to get the old junker running again. The starter was shot. He wouldn't bet on the alternator. For Harriet's safety, and that of the people of Eternity Springs, a brake job was a priority. That was just the beginning of the list. When he'd first lifted the hood to give it a quick once-over last night, Harriet mentioned that she hadn't had her car serviced since her husband passed a year and a half ago. He'd swallowed a groan. Josh understood the love of a great piece of machinery and the desire to keep it running at all costs. However, a 1981 mud brown Skylark didn't qualify as great machinery. Josh lay on his wheeled creeper, scowling up a hole in the Buick's muffler, when he heard the squeak of a screen door. Because he'd been smelling the aroma of baking cookies for the past 10 minutes, like Pavlov's dog, Josh began to salivate. He had a serious sweet tooth, and Harriet made one fine cookie. With a shove against the Buick's underbelly, he rolled out from beneath the car. "Do I smell chocolate chips?" She carried a serving tray containing a plate piled high with steaming cookies, a second plate filled with dog treats, and 2 glasses of milk. "Oatmeal chocolate chip. Oatmeal is good for you, so I don't feel quite so guilty when I indulge." Harriet Rosenbaum was a tiny, spry woman in her early 70s. A former math teacher from Texas, she and her husband had retired to Eternity Springs 7 years ago. As was her habit, she wore yoga pants and one of a dozen oversized T-shirts that advertised the national parks. She and her husband had been avid campers, and after making the acquaintance of members of the Tornado Alley Cats, an all-female camping club who had camped at Stardance Ranch RV Resort the previous summer, she was toying with the notion of joining the organization. Josh hoped she'd do it. Based on her reminiscences about camping with her husband, in his own knowledge of the welcoming nature of the Alley Cats, Josh thought that glamping with the girls would be a great way for the active widow to occupy her time. She obviously wanted more to fill up her days than cookie baking, as wonderful as that was. "I thought we'd sit on the front porch and enjoy our morning snack," she said. "I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been some action across the street at that place next to yours. I'd like to sit and eat my cookies and be nosy. Does that sound all right with you?" "Harriet, I'd follow you to the top of Sinner's Prayer Pass for those cookies." He rose to his feet and tugged his red shop rag from the back pocket of his jeans to wipe his hands. Smiling with pleasure, she led the way out of her garage and up the side steps to her front porch. "So, what's the verdict on Mabel?" Mabel being her name for her car. "I'll get her running for you, and then you should drive her into Gunnison and trade her in on a truck to pull your new camper." "I don't have a new camper." She set the serving tray onto the small table that sat between 2 white porch rockers adorned with parrot-green cushions. "Brick has a connection." Josh took a seat,
snagged a cookie, fed Penny a biscuit, and added, "He could hook you up with a sweet little 18-footer for 10% above cost." A wistful look entered the older woman's eyes.
"I'd be afraid to try. Peter always pulled the trailer. I never learned to do it."
Josh took a bite of warm oatmeal chocolate chip cookie and gave it the reverent moment of silence it deserved.
"It's up to you, of course, but I think a former teacher would be one to agree with the idea that one is never too old to learn."
She laughed. "Overcoming objections one by one. You should be in sales and marketing, Josh, or maybe politics, but I wouldn't wish that on anyone I like. And I do like you. You remind me of someone, you know. I just can't put my finger on who."
"Good.
It will come to me eventually. It always does."
"Bad."
He went for the distraction.
"These are spectacular cookies. Anytime you feel like baking, I'm happy to take some off your hands." "So, what's the scoop on the Munster Mansion next door to me?"
She laughed at his reference to the 60s sitcom about a quirky family filled with cliché monsters, and fed Penny another treat.
"I think we're getting new neighbors."
"Your kind or mine?"
By kind, Josh referred to residential or commercial neighbors. Eternity Springs was in the midst of a renaissance that gave city planners nightmares. Basically, zoning didn't exist. But it worked for the little town. For the most part, residential properties peacefully coexisted with business concerns in what served as the downtown commercial district. Long empty buildings and unoccupied homes had mostly disappeared, with the vacancy rate at the lowest level since the silver mines closed 100 years ago. Josh's garage sat on a corner lot at Spruce and Fifth. It had been a Sinclair filling station before it closed in the 1960s. He'd bought the station, the lot next to it, and the lot behind it, vacant but for a storage shed packed with prizes, original Sinclair dyno signs, old gas pumps and gumball machines, and a cash register that dated back to the 1920s. He'd been like a kid in a candy store going through the shed. He'd instructed the architect he'd hired to design the remodel and expansion to stay true to the historic look of the structure. The result was a simple expansion that allowed for entrance on Spruce with drive-through bays and an exit on Fifth. Because a man could never have too much storage space, he'd even kept the shed when he'd had the one-story, two-bedroom Victorian replica cottage built on the adjacent lot. There was a lot to be said for being able to walk to work on a snowy day in January. After taking her time in an inner debate over which cookie to choose, Harriet responded to his question.
"Honestly, I'm not sure. Celeste owns the property, so there's no hint there. I saw her arrive, but I missed the arrival of whoever is driving that maroon SUV. It's a large vehicle, a large house, so I suspect we could have a family moving in."
"Jack's Lancaster's truck pulled away from there a few minutes ago," Josh observed. "It looks like they'll be doing some remodeling."
"Yes, but that doesn't tell us much about the visitor, however. That house has been vacant for so long it surely needs major work. I do hope they don't tear it down. She's a grand old place. I went through it the last time it went up for sale, not long after Peter and I moved to town. Why, it's made for a big family. Wouldn't it be lovely if a large family moved in?"
"I don't need curious kids underfoot at the garage."
"Oh, don't try that. I've seen you with some of our curious youngsters here in town. Why, just last week, you all but taught a class to the Wilson boys when you let them help work on your motorcycle engine."
"Their father is deployed. I'm just doing my civic duty."
Penny begged one more treat, then rolled over to a sunny spot on the porch and plopped down to sleep. Josh eyed the dilapidated house under discussion. It had been a showcase in its day, Queen Anne style with steeply pitched, irregular roof lines that included a tower and turrets. Elaborate brackets of gingerbread adorned the exterior, and turned posts and spindles dressed its three porches. A lot of possibility there.
He'd briefly considered buying it himself rather than building something new, but the place was way too big for a bachelor. Since he had no intention of ever changing that status, he'd gone with his new cottage that looked old from the outside, but was equipped with a media room and a steam shower.
"You could wander over and ask," Josh suggested as he lifted his glass of milk to his lips for a sip before reaching for cookie number 3.
"Maybe I will. I could take some cookies. I have 2 more sheets ready to come out of the oven any minute. Why don't we fix a plate and walk over and introduce ourselves, be neighborly? And if we don't like the people or plans for the house, we can roll out the haunted story."
"What haunted story?"
"Well, I don't know, but I'm sure we can come up with one if we need it. The place has the look of a haunted house, doesn't it?"
Josh was tempted. He'd wanted to explore the house ever since Celeste refused to show it to him during that short time he'd considered it.
"No, it's not the right place for you," she'd replied when he asked about it. "I've something else in mind for that property."
That refusal still rankled, even if she'd been right that it didn't suit him. Josh didn't like anyone to tell him no.
"I shouldn't, Ms. H. I've taken a long enough break as it is. My boss will fire me."
"You're your own boss."
"Right. And the guy is a slave driver. I can't be changing starters when I'm getting nosy with the neighbors, and if I don't do it this morning, I won't get to it until next week. I'm booked this afternoon on."
"Mabel can wait. She hasn't run for a month, and a few more days won't make a difference. Come with me, Josh. Having someone with me makes me look less like the nosy stalker neighbor that I am. Besides, if I get a little exercise this morning, I'll probably feel like baking a cake this afternoon."
He chastised her with a look, then acquiesced, saying,
"You drive a hard bargain."
"No, I drive a Buick, or I will be again soon. Isn't it lucky that a mechanic moved in across the street from me and is willing to barter for baked goods?"
He laughed, just as the timer on Ms. Harriet's phone buzzed.
"All right, Ms. H., plate up the cookies and I'll accompany you to meet our new neighbors."
"Potential neighbors," she cautioned.
Josh shrugged, but he didn't believe it. If Celeste Blessing was showing the old house to someone and they'd already called Jax Lancaster in, the deal was done.
"I hope if the family has children that they are older and well-behaved and will leave Penny be. She got a little snappish with Racer Rafferty the other night at Murphy's."
"That boy is a tornado on 10 toes. Sage and Colt do their best with him, but he is going to keep them hopping."
"Speaking of Penny, she's welcome to stay in my backyard while we're across the street. The squirrels have been running amok between my trees today. Penny will have a fine time chasing them."
"Sounds like a plan." A few minutes later, Harriet left the house carrying a plate piled high with warm cookies and a stack of napkins. Josh toted a gallon of milk and a package of red Solo cups. The pair crossed the street and stepped up the walk toward the vacant house's front door. Harriet knocked on the door frame.
"Hello? Hello? It's the neighborhood welcome wagon bearing cookies fresh from the oven.
Harriet?"
Celeste's voice called from a room off the house's broad entryway and toward the back.
"I'm in the kitchen."
Harriet's and Josh's footsteps echoed through the empty house as they followed the sound of Celeste's voice. She sat at a folding card table in the spot where a kitchen table belonged, and she had 2 piles of paperwork in front of her. Contracts, Josh thought, as Celeste looked up and smiled delightedly.
"Harriet, how did you know I was craving something sweet? And Josh, what perfect timing. Jax was going to tote a small but heavy trunk down from the attic for me, but we both forgot when he received a call from Claire and hightailed it home. You just missed him, in fact."
"Is everything okay with Nicholas and the baby?"
Harriet asked as she set the plate of cookies on the table.
"Yes, all is well at the Lancaster home. This call was about Nicholas's dog. She's having her puppies. Finally, Josh said. He poured milk into a red plastic cup for Celeste. Nicholas has been on tenterhooks for the better part of a week.
Harriet clicked her tongue.
Yes, the poor boy. Jack said he wasn't